I want to call your attention to the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and I would like to read the first 16 verses of Acts chapter 3 for a scripture reading tonight. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And as I said, that's reading the first 16 verses of Acts chapter 3 for a scripture reading tonight. And I want us to consider what we are told here, and consider something about the day in which this took place. We have read in this, and I'm sure that many of you all here have read this and heard this read many times, but we read about a man here that was lame from his mother's womb. Now, obviously, this man, given his physical handicaps, he couldn't take care of himself the way that many people are able to do. Obviously, he couldn't work perhaps in the fields or things that other people were able to do. He couldn't sign up for disability. He couldn't go on welfare. He couldn't go and get food stamps. He couldn't do any of those things at that time that programs like what people today are able to get into. This man was carried daily, and he was laid at the gate of the temple and asking alms of the people that entered into the temple. And as we said, this was a man that the Bible tells us had been lame from birth, had been lame from his mother's womb. And I could imagine that his daily life was one that was very trying. And I don't know, you know, I don't have any idea what it would be like to physically live like that from day to day, to be laid there, to be carried and to be laid at the gate and to see other people, you know, walking by you. I mean, when Peter and John passed this man, they were walking. And this man had never been able to do that. And as it turned out that day, these two men of God, men that the Lord had blessed with special gifts, they were coming there to the temple. And when he saw them, he asked an alms of them. And the Apostle Peter said, well, we don't have any silver or we don't have any gold to give you, but what we do have, we will give you. And actually, what they had was much better. And so they said, you know, silver and gold. The Apostle Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, I love what the Apostle Peter did here because he didn't say in the name of Peter and John, rise up and walk. That wouldn't have done any good, would it? He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when he had the slightest inkling that they were actually honoring them for having done this, he stepped up and said, wait a minute. Don't look at us like this is something that we did. And he made sure that all the honor and the glory for this went to God, which is where it belongs. He's the one that deserves it. But I want you to notice in this that what happened to this man, and rightfully so, and I think that certainly we can understand why this happened. This man, when he received this miracle, when he received this blessing upon his life, you know, when he, when his feet and ankle bones received strength and he was able to stand, I mean, this is something that he had never prior to this been able to do. And he was able to stand. He had received a great blessing. He had been the recipient of a great miracle. And the Bible says that he leaped up and he walked and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And you know, the thought that I wanted to share with you tonight is that we ought to be excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be excited about the blessings that he bestows upon us. We certainly ought to be excited about as his people, about what he has done for us. And this man here was extremely excited, and the people were affected by that. They were affected by what they were seeing in this man. Of course, they marveled at the miracle that had been performed. And, you know, it doesn't, the Bible doesn't tell us that that this man, after that he had received strength to his otherwise lame legs, it doesn't tell us that he got up and he walked away with a frown on his face like somebody just killed his favorite dog. It doesn't tell us that he was excited about what had happened to him. He was beside himself, if you will, about what the Lord had done to in his life. And you know, that's the way that we ought to be as the people of God. We ought to be the most excited people in all the world. This man, as I said, we read in this that there was a great witness from this. He was a great witness of what had happened to him, and it had great effect upon the people that were around him. And you know, I want to ask this question tonight, and I'm not saying this to be degrading. I'm not saying this to be malicious or anything at all like that, but I say this with sincerity. I want you to think about this. Those that visit our assembly from time to time, when they come in and sit among us, do they know and do they understand? Do they see enough to make them to believe that we are excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are excited about the blessings that he has given us, that we are excited about what he's done? I'll tell you what, those of us that know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, we have received a greater miracle in our lives than what we have read about here. We have received, Brother Mike spoke about it very well this afternoon there at the Christian Healthcare Center. We have received the greatest of all gifts. We are the recipients of the greatest of all miracles. We receive something from the Lord when we were saved that goes beyond giving strength to the body. It goes beyond making us be able to physically walk. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were without hope, and there was nothing that we could do about it. You know, this man here, there was nothing that he could do about his own condition. There was nothing that he could do to strengthen his legs himself. He had to be the recipient of a great miracle in order for that to happen. And there was certainly, when we were lost and without the Lord, there was certainly nothing that we could do to remedy the situation that we were in. Folks, we were headed to hell, weren't we? We were headed for eternal torment, and there was no way that we could turn ourselves from the path that we were on. We were bound for destruction because we were sinners, because we had offended a holy God, and we were going to go to hell, and we were going to suffer the torments of hell, and we were going to do that justly so. But by the grace of God, when we cried out to him, he intervened and he brought us out of that dead state, as we are told in the second chapter of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God..." Amen. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, by grace, you are saved." Amen. By God's completely undeserved, unmerited favor upon us, we're saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been given a home in heaven when this life is over. I mean, we know we're going to die, don't we? We know that it's appointed unto us once to die, and after this comes the judgment. But thank God, we have been pardoned. Thank God, we've been forgiven of sin. Thank God, we have made escape through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not going to have to go and suffer the eternal damnations of hell because the grace of God was sufficient upon us to give us a home in heaven. Now you tell me, what people could be more excited about anything than that? I'll tell you what I believe causes the people of God to shout. I'll tell you what I believe brings out those testimonies from the people of God. When we assemble ourselves together in worship, I'll tell you what I believe brings those things out in us is because we are excited in our hearts about what the Lord has done for us. And I'll tell you what I believe is happening when those things are lacking among us, when we don't see those things happening in the assembly of the saints. I believe it's because we have left off being excited about the Lord and being excited about what He has done for us and not thinking about it and not meditating about it the way that we should. Folks, we ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. Listen, this man, one day, he was laying there at the gate of the temple with a broken body. He was laying there and he was lame. Never been able to walk. Couldn't get up and walk like other people did. Laid there asking alms from people just to get by. And he received this great miracle. Well, listen, I can take you back to In my memory and in my testimony, I can take you back to a night in 1973 in my little apartment when I was lost, I was separated from God, I was under conviction of sin, I had great condemnation in my heart, I had fear in my heart like I had never felt in my life. I was afraid I was going to die in that condition, and I got down upon my knees and I began to pour my heart out to Almighty God, and there in that moment He saved me from my sins. He took away all that guilt. He took away all that fear. He took away all that condemnation. I wasn't convicted anymore. God had taken all that away and gave me peace that assured me that I had been saved. Now you tell me something. Does it get any better than that? Uh-uh. I'll tell you what, there isn't anything that ought to excite somebody more than that. You know, Brother Ronnie Carter, I don't know if you all, I don't know if it hit you the way it did me, but Brother Ronnie Carter, the night that he preached at the tent revival, he asked this question of those of us listening. He said, how do you suppose that people would react, even in missionary Baptist churches? He said, how do you think people would react to you if you walked into church on Sunday morning and you walked up to people and you said, oh, I'm just so excited about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's probably a lot of people that would think we'd become holy rollers, wouldn't they? But we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited. And you know what? You could make an argument with me. You could say, well, Brother Miller, how do you know that we're not excited just because we're not showing it outwardly? How do you know we're not excited about the Lord Jesus? Well, I'll tell you what, I know what the Bible says. Look at the 15th proverb in the 13th verse, and it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Do you think a glad heart affects the countenance? Do you think if a person gets excited inwardly, that it's going to show outwardly? I do. I believe the scriptures prove that to us there. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. What happens? What causes people to lose control sometimes, it seems? What happens to people when they begin to shout? What happens to people when they when their cup begins to run over? They're excited. Amen. They're excited in the Lord. They're excited in what God has done for them. I remember Brother Perrigo, Brother Calvin Perrigo, years ago. And he was my pastor. And I remember him saying, have you ever seen somebody sitting in church going, oh, I want to see him look up on his face? We do that, don't we? We do that sometimes with no excitement whatsoever. And, you know, I think about oftentimes about the question. And I'm not talking about manufacturing something here. I'm talking about, I believe if we're excited in our hearts, it'll show forth in the outward man. That's what happens to people. That's what was happening to those people there at Pentecost. They were excited in receiving the promise that the Lord had made to them about the outpouring of this great unusual power upon them. And it affected them in their countenance. I think oftentimes about the question, if you were taken into court, if you were arrested and taken to court on the charge of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is there enough evidence? When we assemble, when people from the outside come in among us, is there evidence among us that we are thankful to the Lord and that we are excited about the Lord and that we're excited about the fact that we've been saved and that we're glad that we're on our way to heaven? The Bible says in the 100th Psalm in verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. The Bible says in the 122nd Psalm, in the first verse, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We ought to approach the assembling of the saints with great gladness in our hearts. You know, I'm not going to say this tonight as any type of complaint. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. It's not easy to pastor. It's not easy to preach. You don't know that unless you've tried it. It's not easy to try to get in touch with the Lord from time to time, week to week, and know what it is that the Lord would have you to give them. But I'll tell you what, I love it. It brings about a gladness in my heart. Brother Mike mentioned how good it is to be able to preach God's Word and feel the presence of the Lord. And you know, that's true for our worship, and we all know that, how good it is to come together and assemble to worship and feel the great presence of the Lord and the Spirit of God move upon our hearts and lead us to testify and lead us to maybe go shake hands with somebody or maybe show our love to somebody in some way, to be excited in the Lord. That's not asking much of God's people, is it? That's not asking much of us at all, because the Lord has blessed us. He has blessed us beyond measure. And we have received the greatest miracle that anybody has ever known. You know, I believe that for some reason this happens to us. When we first get saved, go back in your mind to when the Lord first saved your soul. How excited were you? Oh my goodness. I mean, I could not wait to tell somebody. I've told you this before. I called my mother, woke her up about 3 o'clock in the morning and told her that I got saved. It was like I couldn't do anything but that. I had to tell somebody what the Lord had done for me. And I'm afraid that we lose that along the way. We shouldn't, but we do. We should never become numb to what the Lord has done for us. We ought to thank Him and praise Him, and there ought to be an excitement that comes from us in our outward being. And if people say that we're crazy, that's all right. They thought those people there at Pentecost were drunk. So if people think we're crazy, I remember I had a friend in Indianapolis. He's gone to be with the Lord now, Brother Lester York. He was Brother Nathan York's dad. I was ordained with Brother Nathan. Brother Lester was his dad, and boy, he was an excited man. I mean, you'd get him in church and he'd get all wound up and all stirred up. And I remember one time he was testifying. He was in service and he was up and he was testifying and he was happy in the Lord. And he said, you know, people tell me I'm a nut. He said, that's all right, because I know I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Let them say what they want to say. We don't need to be ashamed about the Lord. We don't ever need to be ashamed, or we don't ever need to be reserved. We need to just let the Lord have His way with us and be excited as this man was. Oh, he was leaping. He was jumping up and down. He was praising the Lord for what God had done for him. And certainly, if someone could do that because they had been given the ability to walk, then certainly we can do that because we have been forgiven of our sins and been given a home in heaven when this life has come to an end. And those are the thoughts that the Lord placed upon my heart. You know, we are going to, as long as we live in this world, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have things that try us. But think about what Jesus said. Think about what our Lord told us. He said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. Be of good cheer. Even in the midst of troubles and trials, He said, be of good cheer, because we are in Him and He has overcome the world. And, you know, people ought to know that what we have, that what we testify of, is so real in us that it just makes us excited to have it. Brother Ernie, you have a song? I'd like for us to have a handshake tonight. We haven't done that in a while, and how's that song go? Let's just praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord.